We're going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, down to verse 13. And so, if you have your Bibles open, great, follow along with me. This is God's Word, people, and it's God's Word to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And right there we'll end God's word. We're going to focus on verse 10 this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's pray for that power this morning. Father, our prayer is this. Give us power. Give us the power we need to open our hearts to hear your word, to receive it. And Father, not just as data to be collected, to be stored in our memory banks and forgotten, but receive, Father, to be employed in our lives, to be used. And I pray, Father, that this would be a word that bears fruit in the lives of your people. Make it profitable, Father. Make it worth our time this morning. Speak to our hearts, speak to our fellowship, and by your word change. Your Son said, your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. And so, Lord, do that work this morning, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been walking with the Lord for about 15 years, maybe a bit longer than that, and what those 15 years have told me, among other things, is that the Christian life is a difficult life. It's not an easy life. It is a life that is fraught with adversity, filled with temptation. It's not an easy life. And if you're Jesus Christ this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You know how hard it is. You know how cunning the evil one is. You know that this is not an easy life, and how many and how vast are the temptations that we as the people of God face. Even this past week, go back over your week. How was your week? Where were those times when Satan came to you, where he tempted you? What were those occasions, those moments when you gave in and when you succumbed to his temptations? You know that this is not an easy life, don't you? You know that we have a formidable foe in the devil. It's just basic to the Christian life. This is stuff that we ought to know. And yet, how often do we live our lives as though Satan doesn't exist and we find ourselves just swimming in a morass of sin and iniquity? It's amazing how easily we give in to the temptations that are hurled at us day in and day out. And, you know, in order to stand our ground, which is really what Paul is calling us to do here in Ephesians 6, in order to stand our ground in an evil day, and it is an evil day, friends, we have to listen to what the Apostle Paul told the first century believers, because they too lived in what he calls an evil day. You think it's hard being a Christian today? Hey, it wasn't easy back then either. It was hard. It was an evil day. There were temptations. Temptations to give up. Temptations to quit. Temptations to sin. It was not easy. Do we get that? Okay. So what Paul said to them applies just as much to us today. When Paul, writing from a prison cell, thrown in the brink for his commitment to Jesus Christ, what he called the church to do then, what he calls us to do today, in order to stand our ground. You want to stand your ground? Here's what he does. He puts his bugle to his lips, so to speak, and he starts blasting the Christian revelry. You know what that is? That was the call that the trumpet would play to arouse the troops to action. And here it is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You want to know how we're going to stand strong in a dark and evil day? How are we going to stand our ground against the devil? Here it is. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're going to do it with the strength of Almighty God. And this morning what we're going to do is very simply is this. We're going to look at that power. We're going to take it apart. We're going to examine it. We're going to see three aspects of what this power is about. And I'll tell you why. Because in order to stand your ground, you have got to know something about the power of Almighty God. All right? And so that's what we're doing this morning. We're looking at the power of Almighty God, three aspects of this power that will enable you to stand your ground against the evil one. And the first thing that you need to know is this. It's external power. Did you get that? It is an external power. It's external power. When Paul says, be strong in the Lord, a little grammar lesson, that is called a passive imperative. Be strong. And what a passive imperative is, for those of you who don't know, and I know that you probably all know this, what that means is that an action is taken outside of yourself, upon yourself, by an outside influence. You're passive in the deal. And so what God says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, what we're being called to do is to wait on God to come upon us with His power. We're to be passive, actively passive, when it comes to the power of God, in order to stand our ground. And what that means is this, by inference, that you're weak. You're weak. I know you don't like to hear that this morning, but you know what? You are weak. I'm weak. We are. Hey, listen. Think about this past week. Think of a situation where you were tempted with evil and how easily you gave in. And it's astounding, isn't it? Have you ever been in a situation where you just swear up and down, I am never going to give in to that sin again. I mean, I'm not going to do it. And you just marshal up all of your resources and your strength and your power. And then, like, seconds later, the temptation comes and boom, you're on the ground. You just gave in. You can't. You ever experienced that? Yeah. And what does that tell us? Well, it tells us this, that we're incredibly weak. Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hey, listen, against the devil, you and I are no contest. All right? You know, back in World War II, France was considered to have the strongest standing army in continental Europe. And then Hitler moved into town. In less than a month, he had passed their borders and he had taken Paris. They thought they were strong. They weren't. And friends, if you think you're strong and you're relying on your own strength to stand your ground against the devil, I got news for you. Here's a news flash. It doesn't work. You don't got what it takes. He's more formidable, more powerful than you are. You want a biblical example? How about Numbers 14, verse 14? Don't turn there necessarily right now. You got a pen, mark it down, check it out later. But here's basically what happens. God's people thought that they could go into battle against the enemy without God. And so they went out without the ark, which was a symbol of God's presence. And Moses said, don't go out, because if you go out, you're toast. The enemy is going to take you down. Well, they went out without the ark. What happened? They were struck down by the Amalekites. They thought they were strong. They went out with God, and they got flat. I'm telling you this morning straight up, friends, if we live our lives like that, thinking that we can do this apart from God, you know, getting up and saying, you know, I'm gonna stand my ground against the devil. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to sin. If we do that, guess what? We are setting ourselves up for a fall. Paul said, if you think you're standing, take heed. Why? Lest you fall. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I don't get the sense that Paul's telling us that we are great and mighty, powerful people. Okay? We are weak. We're impotent. Against the devil, we're no contest. We're a punching bag. We're sitting ducks. Okay? And if we could just get that into our minds, that the power that we need does not reside within us. It's not an inherent power. The power we need to stand our ground is an external power. It's an alien power. It has to come from outside of us. It has to come from God Almighty. Then we're positioning ourselves to be able to stand our ground. And so let's get this straight this week, okay? The power that you and I need to stand our ground against the devil, you listening, friends? It's important. Does not come from within. The power we need to face adversity and not to be stressed out, not to be taken down by anxiety. The strength we need in order to be obedient and to follow His will, it does not live within me. It's not inherently mine. It's not a natural power. It is an external. It is an alien. It is a God-given power. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's an external power. You say, well, look, can you make this a little more specific for me? What exactly is this power that we're talking about? Well, here's the second thing. It's an extraordinary power. External power, it's an extraordinary power. We're not being called to be strong in just any kind of power. We're being called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Might. You know what might is? Might is inherent power. It's inherent strength. How many of you go to a gym? Okay, a few hands. How many of you used to go to a gym? Okay, a few more. Okay, if you've been to a gym, and actually you don't have to go to a gym today with fashion being what it is. You see some of the guys out there in their muscle shirts, okay? And some of these guys, I used to go to a gym, and there's a guy there with biceps were bigger than my waist, which is not, which is amazing to think about it. This guy was huge. And just looking at this guy, I mean, this guy had might. He had inherent power. When Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, what he's saying is this, that you and I are to be strong in the display, in the manifestation of God's inherent strength, which is His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I mean, what Paul's saying here is you are to get this power. You're to lay hold of this power. You're to use it. You're to let it flow through you. I mean, this is Paul's big gig over in Ephesians 1, back a few chapters. His prayer for the people in Ephesus was this. He's praying that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation, the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Paul wants the Church of Jesus Christ to understand how exceedingly, how extraordinarily great His power is. And that's what I want for you people. I want you to know, I want to know how exceedingly great, how powerful God's power is for us. You say, well, look, that sounds abstract. I mean, what exactly does God's power look like? What does the display of His might actually look like? Well, look, I'm going to break it down for you, and we're going to do it this way. We're going to look at the life of Jesus Christ for just a minute. And I'll tell you why. Because there we see the display of His might. The display of the Lord's might. You look at the life of Jesus Christ and think through this with me. Jesus Christ faced hunger. He faced discouragement. He faced disappointment. He faced temptation. Every day of His life, He did all of that without sin. He was tempted at all points, we're told, and yet never sinned. How often have we given in when we've lacked? And how often have we caved to sin when we've been discouraged and when we've been disappointed? How often? It's amazing. How often have we given in when the devil has tempted us? How often? Jesus Christ faced all of that in His life, and He never sinned. Not once. Not once. That, my friends, is what you call the power of His might. You look at the miracles He performed, how He calmed seas, how He restored hearing to the deaf, sight to the blind, life to the dead. That is something of the power of His might. Look at His death. Look at His resurrection. At His weakest, when He appeared weakest, on the cross, at Calvary, what was He doing? Well, we're told in Colossians chapter 2, I think it's verse 15, that He was busy disarming the powers of hell, breaking the power of the devil over the people of God. Amazing. And then 3 days later, lifting His own life from death to life again. That is power. And so when Paul says, be strong in the power of His might, listen, friends, he's telling us to be strong in an absolutely extraordinary power. And don't we need that? When we think of the temptations that we go through, that come to us every single day, that we knowingly have given into and fallen prey to, don't we need something of this extraordinary power? Don't we? Now, come on, don't we? We absolutely do. We absolutely do. The only power that will enable us to sufficiently stand our ground against the devil is the power that comes from the Lord, which is an extraordinary power. You are no contest with the dark one. The power you need is the power that comes from God Almighty. And Paul says, you are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And know that it is an absolutely extraordinary power, sufficient to enable you to overcome whatever is thrown at you by the devil. Do you got that? It's an extraordinary power. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you know it, just quote it along with me. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also provide or make the way of escape so that you will be able to bear up under it. Okay? Who provides the way of escape? God does. That's right. That is Almighty power at work. That is the power of His might. Every time we're tempted, God provides, if we take it, a way of escape, okay? It's an extraordinary power, all right? You say to me, well, look, I want that power. You want that power? Hands up. How many of you want the power, the almighty power of God, to stand your ground? How many of you are just sick and tired of giving in, of just, you know, throwing up your hands and just quitting? And just, how many? Yeah. Here's the great thing. It's the third thing, really, that we're going to look at with this power this morning. It's this. It is an engageable power, all right? It's an engageable power. It's an available power. We can get it. We can connect to it, all right? There's a word here in verse 10 that we haven't taken a look at. It's not a very long word, but it's a very important word. In fact, it's just two letters long. Can any of you identify it? And the implications of this little word, it's a preposition, there's a hint, are enormous for the Christian life and for standing our ground. What is that preposition? What is that little two-letter word? In. Paul says that you are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I'll tell you something about that little word, in. That word in, it assumes a very close relationship. Let me create a picture for you. You take water from your faucet, you turn it on, you put your cup under that faucet, water flows into that cup. All right? Now that water has a relationship with that cup that it didn't a few seconds back. It now is close to and around and touching, in contact with that glass. And when Paul says that you are to be strong in the Lord, what he's saying is this. Then in order to get that power, you have got to be close to, in contact with, connected to that power source. Does that make sense? Sure it does. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, Paul says this, put on the armor of light. Two verses down, he says this. It's parallel. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Same thought. To put on the armor of God is really to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, children, this morning you woke up and you put on your clothes, didn't you? What relationship do you now have to your clothes? Where are you in relationship in reference to your clothes? You are what? You are in your clothes, aren't you? You're inside your clothes. That's right. And so when Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, get inside of him. Get in him. Why? Because he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lusts of the flesh. All right? How is it that we're going to stand our ground? How is it that when temptation comes our way, we're not going to falter and give in and succumb and acquiesce and capitulate and surrender? How? One way, friends. You've got to be in him. You've got to be in connection with him. You've got to be up close. So close that when that power comes, it's going to do something great. You know, that's the reason why we often don't walk in victories. You know that? You want to know why you're not walking in greater victories? You want to know why we collapse in a morass of moral sins? You want to know why? It's because we are not praying. James says you don't have why? Because you don't ask, right? Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. And you see, friends, if we are to know victory in our lives, in the Christian life, if we are to beat the sin that dogs us, if we are to push aside the temptations that harass us, then we have got to pray. We've got to cry out. We've got to do this. As I said earlier, God says this, call on me in the day of trouble, I will what? I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Is that not a promise? That's God saying to you, look it, I'm making a promise here. You are weak, I am strong. There are temptations, you need my help. Get my power. How do you get that? You get it by being strong in him, by engaging that power, by calling out and saying, God, I can't do this. You know how pitifully weak I am. I need your strength. And I am by faith praying it down into my heart so that I won't go there, so that I won't do that, so that I won't look there, so that I won't touch that stuff. And I'll walk free, and I'll walk in a way that pleases you. And God will. He will hear you. You know, in Isaiah chapter 25, or 27 verse 5, God says this. He commands his people in Isaiah 27 verse 5, let him take hold of my strength. Let him take hold of my strength. And God's got an infinite storehouse of power waiting for the people of God. And God says, take hold of it. Don't walk on your own. Don't walk in your own strength. Don't think you can do it. Pull it down by prayer through faith, and I will give it to you. And you'll stand your ground. Listen, you and I face an incredibly powerful foe. Incredibly powerful. But we have in the Lord an exceedingly greater power. A power so powerful, so great, that it will enable you and I to stand our ground, even in a dark and in an evil day. And so, friends, let's get accustomed to this power. Let's know this power. Let's be all about the power that God wants to give us. Let's call it down. Let's pray it down in this dark and evil day. And as we do that, God says, you will stand. You will stand in this evil day. We have God's word on that. And so let's ask God to do that work right now. God, give us the power that we need. The power we need to walk in obedience and uprightly. The power to fence off the temptations. The ability to endure hostility and struggles. The patience we need to wait on You. God, I pray for Your people this morning. And I pray very specifically that they would know this power. That they would be familiar with this power. That that power would be a constant friend, a daily companion. And Lord, as they face adversity, as they face the evil one, this very week, this very day, that they'll stand their ground. That they won't back down. That their voices will call out to You. And Lord, in response, that almighty power, the kind that made the heavens and the earth, the kind that raised Jesus from the dead, would flow to them, strengthening them, and enable them to stand their ground. That's my prayer for Your people this week. Hear us as we pray this together. And do that in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.